One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, low to the waist, a Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome back to another extreme episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. I'm your host, David Steiner. I'm joined again by Ruler of the Wasteland, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, the Ripster of Citadel, and Morton Hoof.
I am the defender of street sharks.
Well, here we are, episode 2, Shark Bite of Street Sharks, the 3-episode pilot. And, I mean, I guess we got to do it. I mentioned it in the first episode, but we can't just discuss what happens in the next, in the third episode by looking at the Wikipedia. We're going to have to watch the fucking episode.
Yes, sir.
I it's like, we can't just leave it on that. Like, I hate that you did this. I hate that I fell into your trap, Hoof, of this street shark trap. But I gotta know the end. So, long story short, episode 2 ends on another cliffhanger because this is a three episode pilot that they did. So this is the middle chunk. So folks, you are getting a triple threat of street sharks on Saturday Morning Apocalypse.
So what happened? Let me explain what happened. Not in the episode, but in our show.
Previously on Saturday Morning Apocalypse.
I told Dave, the water's fine. And he's like, okay. So he gets in the water. And then the music starts playing. Dunna, dunna, dunna. And here I come, beneath the surface, swimming like a predator. An apex predator. And I grabbed him. And in the third episode is what I lured him into.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Well, we're not at the third episode yet. We're still on episode 2, Shark Bite. And this is the one I really wanted to get to because, as we mentioned in the previous one, there are some surprising moments of brutality in this series up to this point. And none more so than exploratory surgery.
Oh my God. This is how the episode opens. Like, I can't believe it. I don't
insane.
Know how you can be against this. Like, this is crazy.
All right, Hoof, for anyone unaware, why don't you break down the synopsis of episode 2, Shark Bite?
All right, so this episode's a little bit more straightforward. It's not as complicated. Basically, the episode opens up with the sharks being captured by, I guess now the military is working with Dr. Paradigm.
He works at a college, right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy that they have, like, military weaponry, tanks.
Yeah, I guess they're just on standby. I mean, all the pollution, you know, you never know when you're going to need military to jump in. So the sharks are captured at this point, and they're going to be experimented on by Dr. Paradigm. So we'll get into that because I definitely want to touch on that. But the sharks get freed with the help of their doctor friend. I forget her name. And so they escaped, and the rest of the episode is basically the sharks trying to find shelter. And that's about, and then at the end, then we get this this returning conflict between Dr. Paradigm, who gets a new dose of transformation, and then versus the sharks. So that's kind of the premise of it. I think we'll get into the details as we go on, but the course of this episode is a little bit more straightforward. It's not as much complications, but sharks are captured, they escape, they're on the run, and then they fight the Dr. Paradigm once again at the end.
Yeah, they have like a confrontation with the villain that ends, and they, you know, with him getting away essentially or whatever, right?
That's right. Well,
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's basically Empire Strikes Back, or should I say Empire
Sharks Back.
Bites Back?
Oh, Bites Back! Nice.
All right, ring the pun bell. But yeah, exploratory surgery. Like we mentioned in the first episode, this show gets surprisingly brutal. And, like, again, injections. There are straight-up injections. Like they are going to, like, oh, my God. Like, we kind of get, and we see a bit more of the insanity of Dr. Is it Paradigm or Paradine?
Paradigm, like the word. So
Paradigm. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, there are times when they were ending with, like, an N sound. Paradigm. I was just like, what? But, like, it seems as if his plan is to make just, like, the ultimate life form, I guess? Is that what he wants?
So it seems like he wants... So his goal in this episode is to identify the human aspect and get rid of that. And
which is funny because that's what he was specific, as we mentioned in the last one, he was specifically putting in human DNA. Like he wanted to make like a hybrid, but now he's just, I guess he's realized like humans suck. Let's just make a fucking monster.
I think he's just getting progressively more evil as time goes on. Like, I think that there's some kind of like descent into madness that we're witnessing. Like this was the first experiment was his first step. And then he's just getting more and more evil. But he has a line in this episode, which I think is just so disturbing, given the context of the show. He says, because so he has one of the sharks, my favorite shark. He doesn't have a name at this point yet, but he's the big buff shark, the big buff-er shark, because he's the biggest shark. So he's strapped to the table, and he's, like Dave said, he's going to inject him, and he's going to do some experimentation. But he says,
"Now we'll discover where the human ends and the shark begins."
Like, whoa. Well,
and that's not even the worst. So he's getting evil, but also I like that the sea sharks have the capacity for evil too, because so you mentioned there's the doctor who's running around who helps them, which I think is questionable, because all she does is, I guess, she gets the guards away from the cell that they're being locked up in. She goes in and all she does is tell them, hey, your brother is being experimented on, and they go, what? And they just break out of their chains. It's it's like she doesn't help them, really. They just help themselves. They go, what? They just buff out, and then they go save the day. And again, I don't want to be negative right up front, but it seems like the show's a little one note. It seems like most of the situations end with they're down, but they just break out of their, all they do is just break out of their chains and just attack, like shark attack. Like that. It seems like that's all it consists of. It's like, you think that they're locked up, but no, they just break out of the things. There's no like tension. And then they just save the day and run away. Like that's kind of how every conflict ends.
Yeah,
but what I'm getting at is, it's interesting, as they break out and they get their brother, they too are down for exploratory surgery. They're like, let's fucking like operate on this doctor, see how he likes it. And they're like, yeah. And they literally grab like a surgical tool, and it goes bzzz. I'm like, is this show going there? They're gonna fucking like get revenge in this sense on the doctor? If so, I am so down.
Put me down.
No problem. First my dad, now my brother. Lesson one on sharks. Great whites are always hungry.
You can't intimidate me.
Oh, yeah? Feeding frenzy!
Exploratory surgery, huh? Scalpel! You're crazy!
Will you settle for this?
Get me out of here!
See, they were gonna do that, Dave. Get on board with the
shark. That's when they have to escape again, and it gets into this like this Mobius strip of fucking events in this show, where it's like you think they're captured, they just escape like with no tension, and then there's a brief fight, and then they leave. Like,
hold on. So you mentioned a brief fight, but this is when. So it took. I mean, this show clearly like doesn't care. That's the way I'm kind of describing it, but this is the part I love, is when they escape the base, these tanks just come out of nowhere and just start blasting, like, blasting at these sharks. I'm just like, oh my God, this show just does not care. Like, it just does anything it wants. Like, this is so fun. So these tanks are just blasting anywhere, everywhere. I'm just like, oh God, this is awesome. So more tanks. I think that I just get a kick out of tanks, like in the city. Like, I think that's crazy. So,
tanks reminds escape. Me. That reminds me more toys. We get more moments of toys where Ben's like gets them out in his like, evidently his van is rocket powered. It has like a rocket propulsion system now. So I'm like, that's another toy. And that's when we get into. Again, like the further ripping off of Turtles, we got to do it for Street Sharks. They have an underground hideout, but it makes sense in Turtles. It's like in Turtles, it's just a sewer. Okay, I get that, and they make like a makeshift like hideout in the sewers. But in this, they say it's steam tunnels, and they lead everywhere under the city or under the college. But it's odd because they like their way into these steam tunnels, this underground labyrinth, is through a dumpster. So I'm like. did Ben's make this dumpster entrance, or is the implication that people just throw trash in this dumpster and it goes to the steam tunnels?
That's what makes no sense at all. Like, has this been here all along? Like, Ben's has just been chilling under the city this entire time. Like,
well, and it's crazy. Like, in his, so he has like this room in the steam tunnel labyrinth that's replete with cameras that somehow like come out like a periscope in a hockey rink. I'm like, if this was designed by the college, why would they have a periscope camera in the hockey rink? Like, and that just seems dangerous too. Like, if the whole idea is to watch the hockey games without them knowing, you're going to interfere with the game by having a fucking periscope come out of the rink.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question. It makes no sense. I'm just busting up laughing when I'm watching this because I'm just like, the logistics of this are crazy because it's not like the Sharks went down there, like they escaped through the sewers and then they built this themselves. Apparently this has always been there or been there a long time. So it's just like, why has this been there? So I guess we're getting a hint into Ben's backstory. Like, he's just this crazy guy who makes all these contraptions and has been hanging out under the city, like planning for, I don't know, maybe he's just like some apocalypse nut this is his bunker or whatever.
Well, but. Okay. So we talked about that camera in the hockey rink. That was probably the invention of Ben's. Like, I can't imagine the practical purpose of having a periscope camera anywhere, for the college anyway. But the steam tunnels, there's no way Ben's built this labyrinth of steam tunnels. He specifically points out at one point, like, it runs all underneath the college. So yeah. So is the implication that the college built these? And he refers to them as steam tunnels. I'm like, but we don't see any steam. Is this playing into what we mentioned before in the first episode, where the fact that the city is like heavily polluted? I'm like, this is the thing that I found most interesting with this episode. And again, it's kind of like they don't have time to build upon these details because this is a 3-episode pilot. They got to get them back to fight with Dr. Paradigm. But these are the details that I thought were fascinating with Street Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, this is a whole another world kind of that of things going on in the show. And another thing that happens that I got a kick out of that is clearly all Ben's is that he has these crazy vehicles hanging out in this shop or whatever that are ready to go. I'm like, why did you build these? I mean, they're clearly made for the Street Sharks. So, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, they're gigantic.
Yeah, they're gigantic and they're just like, they got attitude. They're extreme. So.
Well, everything in Fission City is extreme. I don't know if you know. Like, even the weather report has a guitar riff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there's like, so speaking of, yeah, there's, so I know I'm like a broken record. I keep bringing up the turtles, but hey, the Street Sharks directly reference the turtles in this scene.
Yes. This is when they get to the base, this is where we get the joke that, so I think this is clever. They go out of their way to acknowledge the ripoff. So they know what they're doing. That's what I'm talking
Absolutely,
about.
Absolutely. Yes.
Got any salt?
Maybe I'll go get something. Pizza. Okay.
Pizza? Oh, come on.
No way.
How about burgers and shakes, okay?
And to me, and well, honestly, like, again, I mentioned this before, I turned against, in this moment, I really turned against this show. Because they're like, the doctor asks them, what do we want to eat, a pizza? And they all look at each other repulsed. As if anyone of any species would be repulsed by pizza. As we know, even rats eat pizza. Remember Subway Rat or whatever? Everyone likes pizza. So the fact that the Street Sharks like turn their fins up at pizza is laughable in its own right. But the fact that they're directly referencing the turtles, they go, no way. And then I think this is funny too. Like, she goes, all right, burgers and shakes. As if like, okay, so they had pizza, we're gonna have burgers and shakes. All right, fine.
Bro, but as this, burgers, okay, the sharks.
But when this, yeah, because, well, I guess I was going to say pizza doesn't have any link to turtles, so I guess that's, anyway. But when this moment happens, when they're so openly thumbing their nose at turtles, like, yeah, we know we're ripping you off, but we're cooler than you. I'm thinking, from the perspective of the turtles, I'm just, like, laughing. If I'm the turtles, I'm, like, laughing and thinking, like, we're not afraid of you, Street Sharks. We know you're a lame ripoff. We know you're not going to last past 40 episodes. We have the one up. We're one of the most successful toy lines in history. Fuck you. Like, I was siding with the turtles because this was like, it seemed like it was childish to me. Like, they're just like, we're cooler than the turtles. Like, just, I don't know. I really turned against the Street Sharks at this moment.
I'm just saying that you can be a fan of the turtles and you can be a fan of the sharks. Like, that's my perspective. You know, you can, there's room for both. So the sharks rejecting pizza wasn't them saying that the turtles suck. It was just saying that, no, we're our own identity. We're sharks. We're not turtles.
I don't know. I can't get behind you on this one, Hoof. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's just like, to me, there's more cool stuff with the turtles. The fact that they're ninjas, that's cool in its own right. The Street Sharks, it's like, okay, one of them's a rollerblader, one of them's a jock. It's, to me, it's not as cool. It's extreme, but it's not cool to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. But I'm just saying that, you know, so there's also this idea that kind of plays into the division of comic books between Marvel and DC. So Marvel are humans that become gods, and DC are gods that become humans, for the most part, with some exceptions, obviously. So turtles, they're just turtles that became ninjas. So that's not really something that we can ever aspire to be. But we can aspire to be Shree Sharks. They're humans that became sharks.
My God. Hoof, you went there. I can't believe it.
I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm
oh my God, I want to be a Street Shark.
Yes, I do want to be a Street Shark. They're so cool.
Oh, what is happening right now? Oh my God. All right, well, let's get off the turtles. I've referenced the turtles enough. Let's talk about the merits of the Street Sharks.
All right, so we're at the base, right? So this is the kicker of this episode. So they have all their vehicles, right? And as soon as they get their vehicles, they leave the base and they're ambushed by the monsters. So they haven't named them yet, but there's the lobster and the swordfish. So they're ambushing the turtles, or the... They're ambushing the sharks.
Exactly, you see?
You got me all mixed up, Dave. They are ambushing the sharks at the at their base. So it's like, so they know where their base is now. So that's kind of goofy, but they must know where their base is. So it's like, are they? If that's their base for the whole show, then it's kind of like, okay, they know where they are. I don't know.
Well, one thing that was kind of confusing, like, there's so many, it seems like in this episode, a lot of things pop up, like, out of nowhere. Like, for instance, Nazi bikers?
They're bounty hunters, Dave.
Oh, they're bounty hunters. Okay, like, there's so much happening in this show, it doesn't slow down, it's too extreme. Like, there was a moment when I was, like, writing in my notes that I think it's funny that the Street Sharks make a point not to attack people they don't have beef with, like the cops. They're like, they're not our fight, or we don't have a fight with them. Like, I'm writing in my notes, and then I look up, and suddenly there are, like, these biker guys there, and I'm like, I only looked down at my notes for, like, 10 seconds. Like, what the fuck happened? Who are these guys? Explain to me who these bikers are, because I looked down at my notes for a moment. I looked back up, and suddenly there's, like these fucking biker guys. I'm like, who are these guys?
At some point in the episode, it might have been immediately before the bikers show up, but there's, like, a wanted poster for the Street Sharks.
Oh, okay.
And so these bikers, which, I mean, they just look like bikers, but I think they're bounty hunters because... They have the wanted poster in their hands. And then at first, when we think that the bounty hunters captured them, they're like, this is the easiest 50 G's we ever made. So
which is crazy. Like, you're going up against, like, that makes me wonder what these guys have done in their past. Like, what's their story? Like, this is easy for them. Like, oh, we're going to go after genetically altered human shark hybrid things. Like, what the fuck?
But clearly this is more than they're biting off more than they can chew.
Because, all right, ring the bell.
Because the sharks are back. They think they're down and out, but they come back. And then they do their cool technique where they spin or they go underground and they circle the bounty hunters, and then they fall into their trap, and the Street Sharks are free. So bounty hunters are no match.
You gotta love the strategery of the Street Sharks. I love that their fan is, all right, guys, we'll fake our surrender, and then, like last time, we'll just break out of any restraints they put us in, and then we'll save the day and then escape. Like, I love that that's their plan.
Okay,
which, of course, they do. And again, it like saps any tension that there could be from this cartoon.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I can't really dispute that. But there is a cool moment. So what Dave is referencing is there's a moment where they let themselves be captured by the lobster and swordfish. And so at some point when they get back to the nuclear power plant, they're like, okay, it's time to escape. So they do just literally like break their chains and then fight back.
With no problem at all.
No problem at all. But one thing that happens in this episode that's another kind of brutal moment is they like chomp down an electrical pole and it falls on the monsters. And then when they get electrocuted, you can see their bones.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty standard, like cartoon, like electricity etiquette is to show like the bones underneath.
So straight up electrocution. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. So, and then, okay. So that happens. And then we're in the base and, they're fighting the, Dr. Paradigm, who now has this Robotech suit,
which he built conceivably like in a day.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a genius. They specifically say he went to college when he was 9 or whatever. So
he's like
a childhood genius or whatever. So
he's like Lex Luthor.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's actually they say in the Wikipedia that his first name is Luthor.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'm checking it right now in the Chattopedia.
Wow.
Dr. Luthor,
okay.
Paradigm.
So, rip off from the best, I guess.
Yeah. So this is taking ingredients from all over the place, Dave. But yeah, he has like this mech suit, and then he's fighting the sharks, and somehow he's gonna inject Benz. Oh yeah, we didn't mention that he captured Benz, and he's gonna do some experimentation on Benz now with a piranha, and so the sharks break in, help Benz escape, and then the piranha injection gets injected into Dr. Paradigm, and he gets like this. I don't know. I thought it was kind of crazy. Like his transformation, his face gets all messed up and he has got these crazy teeth. So it's pretty brutal.
I was honestly, yeah, his face does get transformed, but I would have liked it if he was a little more grotesque, honestly. Like, because, like, his mouth obviously gets warped and, like, he's got all these, like, jagged teeth and all that, but, like, he still has, like, he still more or less looks like a human. I would have liked it if he had a little bit more piranha features to him, other than just the teeth.
Well, we don't know that he doesn't. He's in the
suit. Maybe he transforms further. Like later.
Yeah, so maybe his body does get some more transformation, but I'm gonna guess that he has that suit on for the rest of the series, but we don't know what he looks like underneath.
I also think it was funny that he has like this giant Dr. Paradigm, who now becomes Dr. Piranha. I love that he has like this, like, he doesn't really have in his mech suit, he doesn't really have hands, really. He has like these claws, essentially.
Yeah.
And I love that he can still perfectly type with the claw hand. I thought that was a nice touch. That was funny to me. That was a nice little detail.
Yeah, he's got two claws and then he can type perfectly. He's strong too. Like with he's got the power suit and now he's got the power of a piranha. So he's going toe to toe with the sharks or whatever. But yeah, I think that the episode's a lot more straightforward. So there's not as a lot of like crazy nuance that we got in the first episode. But this episode kind of ends with the sharks in another tight situation. So they might just break out. They probably just eat their way out.
Yeah, they just eat their way out of everything. Again, it's just like. With the exception of the moments of surprising brutality, and then they have all their extremeness. Like, I really think that it's kind of creatively bankrupt for the most part. This show, like, there's not like, for instance, like they always say shark attack. They're like shark attack. Like that's all they say. They don't vary it up much.
Why? How's that different than cowabunga?
this. Well, yeah, you're right. But I just couldn't help but think, like, they just always say shark attack, and it's just, I don't know, dude. Like,
it's their
like
battle
I said,
cry.
Huh? Shark attack!
Maybe they vary it up a bit when the series kind of starts and they find their footing. But this, like, honestly, unless I was just a cynical producer who just wanted to make money off of toys, if that wasn't a factor, I would be like, this show's lame. I'm sorry.
All right. I don't agree with that, because I feel like that's the attitude that brought us Turtles in the first place. That's the attitude that brought us Transformers, G.I. Joe. It wasn't because they didn't want to make a statement. They didn't want to reach some high art level. They just wanted to sell toys. And Shark and Street Sharks is no different. Like, they're just trying to make a quick buck.
I guess what I'm saying is, like we've mentioned before, like with G.I. Joe, for instance, obviously just made to sell toys. But what I liked about that show is that they did anything they wanted to do, like as far as situations. Like they went to Wicker Man levels and Cthulhu levels. Like this show, with the exception of the moments of brutality, I just feel like there's not a lot that the sharks do other than eat stuff. It's kind of like, it to me, it becomes, I think that my problem is, you know, I think it just becomes one note where they just, okay, they can like swim through the streets and they can chomp down on things, but that's kind of it. Like, I'm waiting for the moment when they really do something cool with the fact that they're sharks.
All right. Well, I'm just going to say that it's not fair to compare the episodes of G.I. Joe to the episodes of Street Sharks that we watched, because...
Well, no, I just mean in the sense that, like, yeah, they're all toy grabs, but G.I. Joe at least was able to, like, make it unique by doing just literally whatever the fuck they want story-wise.
Well, what I'm saying is that we jumped way ahead in the G.I. Joe, but we're...
That's,
we're,
you know, yeah, good point.
So, and if you look at the Chattopedia listings of all the Street Sharks episodes, if you look into season 3 especially, like, that's when it sounds like it gets crazy. So, I'm going to do some more research, because I see your points. I think they're valid for the most part. So I've got a mission now to kind of bring the heavy hitter episodes for Street Sharks. So if you're listening out there and you know some good episodes for Street Sharks that you think will convert Dave to our side, because I know everybody else is on our side, right? Street Sharks rule.
So, your side.
Yeah. Are on my fin.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think that you make some good points. I think that they do just eat stuff, and I kind of get a kick out of the fact that they kind of let themselves be captured, then they break out. Like, I think that's kind of funny, but it is also one note, like you said. So, I see both sides. So, I think that there are some episodes in the future that sound really promising that I'm going to probably try to watch, and then we'll see if I can bring some new meat to the table.
All right, well, like I said, like, we will... This is not going to be a double feature of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. It's going to be a triple feature. I gotta at least see how it ends. I gotta find out what happens with Dr. Piranha now. I gotta see if Benz gets transformed or if he's going to be their human friend, their crazy human friend with all the tech. I gotta see. I'm assuming that the doctor that they spoke to, that Freedom, becomes sort of like their April O'Neil, kind of like their, you know, their source for info in the college and whatnot.
Their source for burgers.
Their source of burgers and shakes, because that, you know, sharks, man, burgers and shakes.
No pizza.
We're not the turtles, okay? We're just cooler than the turtles. Forget the turtles.
It could have been funny if they ate pizza, but they only ate pizza with, like, fish toppings. Like, that could have been funny.
Yeah, anchovies. Like, make sure it has anchovies on it, man. Yeah.
Put some salmon on my pizza.
But I'm fascinated. I'm somewhat interested to know what happens in episode 3. I can kind of guess what's going to happen, but we'll see. But that's going to do it for the Empire Strikes Back entry in Sharks in Street Sharks. We'll be back next time with episode 3. Do you know the name, Hoof?
Oh, Shark Storm.
Shark Storm. All right, that's one thing. All right, you looked at the Chattopedia. Does every episode begin with shark blank?
There are a lot of shark puns, and I think that you would get a kick out of some of them. Especially, so it looks like season 2 is them finding their footing, and then it seems like season 3 is when they take off. Like, just go even more extreme, like bonkers extreme. So I am going to guess that we have some exciting things in the future, hopefully. So
I'll do some research. That's never a good sign when someone tells you, yeah, dude, but once you get to season three, that's when it really starts to find its footing. Like, I've told people that same thing about Star Trek The Next Generation so many times, where it's like, trust me, dude, if once you get to season three with the Borg and all that stuff, you know, that's when the show really finds its footing, okay? It's like, you don't want to tell someone that they have to watch three seasons of a show before it gets good. That's never a good sign, but you know what? I've been there before with Star Trek The Next Generation. So like Hoof said, like, after we're done with this triple feature, maybe in the future we'll tackle some of the quote unquote better episodes.
So what I'm getting is that Street Sharks. Street Sharks and Star Trek Next Generation are probably equal caliber is what I'm getting.
They're basically the same show.
All right. Cool. That's what I was getting, so
But that's going to do it for this installment of Saturday Morning Hop Apocalypse. Like I said, we'll be back next time with the conclusion of the Street Sharks pilot series, the 3-episode arc. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram. You can also shoot us an email at apocalypsestudiopod@gmail.com. Like, do you guys have any other shows that didn't hit their strides until season 3? Let us know. We want to hear what you guys think. Let us know your takes on Street Sharks. And I'd be fascinated to know, like I said, other shows that didn't hit their stride until the 3rd or 4th season. It'd be a fun discussion point. But that's going to do it, folks. See you next time.
Bye.